This is an ABC podcast.
Resorts, homes and a newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream.
You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Australia.
Tala Falava, I am Tawainisa Ako from Samoa and Radio 2AP and TV9. And this is Pacific Prepared.
This show aims to interweave traditional knowledge and climate change, helping you to be ready for any disaster through stories and talanoa from the Pacifica.
We take all those things and put them all together, so hopefully you feel more prepared for disasters.
And this is done through stories and talanoa from across the Pacific. On today's show, we want to talk about evacuation places, the places that you know and that you have in the back of your mind whenever there's a disaster. We'll take you to Fiji and Papua New Guinea and hear from two villagers to get their thoughts on evacuation centres.
And from Samoa, I had a conversation with some of the families from the villages that are vulnerable to flooding, and they have raised concerns about the effect of flooding on their daily lives and mental health.
That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
We need to be prepared for the future.
Helping you stay safe.
We have built a seawall 2 times, but it did no good.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared.
You might have heard a different voice off the top of Pacific Prepared this morning. We should say Tala Falava to Aina from 2AP and TV9 in Samoa. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Fred. Tala Falava to our listeners. I am Tawainisa Ako, a reporter from Radio 2AP and TV9 here in Samoa. It's a government-owned outlet here in Samoa, and I am very happy to be part of the program this morning.
Yeah, it's great to have you along, and you're already doing stories that are sort of related to the program anyway, so yeah, it's good to hear from you.
Thank you, Fred.
All right, let's get into the show. Thank you, Aina.
The time to prepare is now, not right before an emergency.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever.
You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
Having a plan for disasters isn't just for that moment when you actually need to go and look at it. I wonder how you would feel if you didn't have that plan.
I wonder if this is something you would be thinking about. Maybe it would keep you awake at night.
As part of trying to stop the effects of flooding, the government of Samoa has already made known the evacuation centres in Samoa for those who are vulnerable to disasters.
This is one of the families in a flood-prone community in Apia. We sat down for a chat, and she said that the constant fear of rising waters can weigh heavily on the minds of residents.
Aina, you said that you sat down for a chat with some of the residents. What were their sort of main points that they were making to you during that interview?
She was so sad when she responded to my questions, given the fact that she said that she has been living there for years. She grew up on that land, and they live with anxiety every day of not knowing when the next flood will hit. And this fear can seep into every aspect of life, affecting daily routines and long-term plans. And she raised concerns about the safety of her children and her relatives and family members. And then she also made a point that despite these things happening every day, the lived reality that they're facing, They have never thought right. of relocating.
Do you know why they haven't thought of that at all?
Yeah, it's because it's a fact that they believe that these have been the lands that have been inherited to them and passed down to them from generations to generations and from their ancestors. So it's like when they leave these lands, it's like they're betraying their forefathers who paved the way for them. And it is why they have never thought of moving elsewhere. And another thing is that they do not have lands of their own elsewhere to move to during tropical cyclones or flooding in any parts of climate change. It's the connection that they have with the lands, the customary lands of their own, and the fear of...
Do you have a word for that in Samoan as well?
Yeah, it's heritage. It's fasinomanga. It's fasinomanga. And they all know that when we talk about heritage, it involves lands and titles, and mainly the lands, because this is something that everyone is fighting for every day. It's the land.
And that clearly, that connection means a lot to families in Samoa.
That absolutely, that is so true. And this is why, you know, despite the fact that they have come to experience the pain, enduring the pain every day of having their development being washed away by water, their houses being damaged and destroyed, then facing health issues every time when there's torrential rain, but they have never thought of relocating. This is because they feel in their hearts that this is something that they have been given by their ancestors, the connection that the surrounding or the natural environment have with them. It's something that they cannot escape from.
Really interesting. And every Pacific country has their own kind of challenges in this exact space as well, Ina. So it's really not unique to Samoa, but something that's experienced right across the Pacific by the sounds of it.
That is true.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to your story.
Okay, thank you for the question. This is our land, and each of our relatives live on their own piece of land. This has been an issue since we set foot here and living here. When there's heavy rainfall, this whole area is going to be flooded, and it's the truth. We have been trying asking for help from one of the government bodies, you know, the Lands and Transport Authority. They know very well that I will always knock on their doors, seeking assistance if there's something they can do to curb flooding in this area, as I want the best for my family, and that is making sure they are safe. Up to this day, we are still suffering, you know, dealing with problematic situations induced by climate change, and we have been staying here for decades. Our house is located between two large waterways, and once these waterways are blocked, the water just comes onto the land and ground, covering much of our lands, destroying our plantations, our developments, and not just our families, but everyone living around the area. It really has an effect on our daily routines, as some of us cannot go to work, and children also cannot attend school, especially when the water level is too high. So when flooding happens, we just continue to stay indoors, just to keep everyone safe. There was a time when our community led a cleanup initiative just to clear the waterways here, especially the litter and debris carried around by water. And our major concerns is the safety of our children. And for your information, after the flood, you know, every time it happens, there's always going to be that smell that is very unhealthy, and the situations that are unhygienic that will be caused by such problem. And regardless of these problems, we will never leave our homes and lands, for this is our heritage. It's part of who we are, and it's something that has been passed down from our ancestors and those who came before us. So we continue to live here, and it's just a matter of how we're going to respond and how we're going to get some help from the government and from the community and from our families scattered around the islands, just to make sure we will be able to survive in difficult times.
Yeah.
I've dated a lover too, so poor Atoni for making the time out of her busy schedule just to speak with me on Pacific Prepared about the effect of flooding that she has been facing with her families. You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
Disaster is part of our life, and recovering is also part of our life.
As you see, they're smiling despite the devastation. That's how we are.
You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
When there's a disaster, they're unpredictable. You never really know what's going to happen and when it might happen. And sometimes the only thing that is predictable is your plan.
An island community in Papua New Guinea is faced with potential threat from unpredictable disasters due to no disaster plan.
And for the fishermen islanders who live just half an hour away by boat ride from Papua New Guinea's capital in Port Moresby, they're missing that vital piece of the puzzle for preparing for disasters.
Pacific Prepared freelance journalist Ben Kadoka recently travelled to the island and filed this story.
Is there any maybe disaster preparedness plan or awareness in place on the island, or do you think there's a need for one to be established?
Yeah. At the moment, there is none. No plan for disasters, huh? Nothing at all on the island. But strong winds and bad weather do come. First day hit this island before entering the mainland. Nah, they first come across this island. But because we are not prepared to, you know, handle this bad times, I mean, what you have said, now there is no plan for disaster preparedness here. So, I think with what you have said, I think that church has to look into it. The committee that I mentioned before has to look into it and make a plan for these disasters.
Have you had any experience where, like, you had strong wind and people just running for their lives or things like that? How did it feel? Have you experienced?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Can you tell me that experience?
It was a funny thing. One time, very strong wind came. So, you know, children with their mothers, they were running. But you know where they were running to? They ran to the church building. All of them squeezed up there, inside the church building.
Yeah. They feel that that's the safest
thing. Yeah, they thought it was the safest thing. Yeah. And when there was, you know, rumors about tsunami coming, most of the mothers and children were inside the church building.
And that's the thing, like disaster awareness was also one thing.
Yeah.
At least if there's no disaster plan, we think there's a need for disaster awareness to be carried out so that people know how to react when those things happen. As a community leader, do you think it's important that these things happen?
Yeah, it's very important. We must have a disaster preparedness plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it can cover the whole village. Not only certain people, but it can cover the whole village.
The whole community.
So when disasters come, we know what to do. We know where to go. Or we know who to contact. Yeah. Like that. Yeah.
We live by faith. Because like our elder mentioned earlier, if our government should have a proper plans on for our future, then we can have plans like for strong wind warnings and like strong wind warnings. We don't have the safe place to move, so we don't have plans. Just stay. The only thing we do is we only take our friends and families to the safest place is the church.
Thanks to Pacific Prepared freelance journalist Ben Kadoka for that story from Papua New Guinea.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
Sometimes, one of the things that gives a village its identity can also be a threat to the people who live there, like the ocean, for example.
There's a coastal community in Vanualevu in Fiji where people are slowly moving inland and away from the thing that makes their village unique. That's the ocean.
The few remaining villages are not just maintaining their traditions and customs, they're also working hard to protect the village from coastal erosion.
Pacific Prepared co-host Josiah Nanunga visited the province of Muthawata and the village called Lingaulavu, where the locals are doing their best to save their homes, vanua and livelihoods.
Bula vinaka. My name is Merwale Sindivosi, and I'm originally from here in Lingaulavu, Mali. Just regarding our village, as how it was, it started. Our ancestors, they were in Vorvoro before. So, from there, they left Vorvoro and they came to Mali Island, where the village was called Lingaulavu, where we are now. When they were here, there were like plenty, the population grew, and they started to move up to the village in Vesi and Nakawanga, another village down below. We were here, and the ancestors were here until us today, as our village called Lingaulavu.
Merwalesi, the village is by the sea, and I think it's one of the villages in the province of Muthawata that is prone or susceptible to the rising sea levels, coastal erosion, coastal inundation. Just talk about the reality on the ground.
Vinaka, as we know about the climate change, there are plenty effect that we have seen on the island. First of all, as the high tide. Before, we usually see that only 3 days that we experience high tide. But now, it takes like 1 week. It's been like high tide for 1 week. So that's like one of the main factors that we see that is affecting us from the climate change. Also, where the sea level is, when it's high tide, it's like it's come to higher ground, like it comes in the village. Where the sea rises, and as our head villager head have already explained it in Fijian, there are some places that we know that it's been like erosing or it's going out there due to the climate change as the sea level rises.
So I can be a clear. I can really see and witness what Merwalesi just highlighted. The high tide during high tide, the high tide mark would go beyond the high tide mark that the villagers would usually, see over the past few years. And also, this is a dry season in Fiji, but it doesn't seem for the villagers here in Lingaulavu, because they have been experiencing constant rain, and their rain harvesting system, their tanks are always filled up, which was not the case for the past few years. But according to Merwalesi, that's also one of a clear evidence that climate change is indeed taking its toll, or is a reality for us here in Fiji and other low-lying Pacific islands. Merwalesi, I can see that there's a seawall built from rocks. I believe it's an initiative by the villagers themselves.
Yes, the seawall, it was built from the villages. We have been trying to stop, trying to stop the sand from going out. That's why we are building the seawall. We have been asking for help, but as villagers, we would like to do things first before the help comes, so they can see, we are doing something. We are doing something so that we can protect our sea, our what you call the rising of sea level, the effect of climate change in our village. So that's where we go out and collect the stones, and we put it at the seawall. You can see the stone. It's the stone that we have built up so that it can protect our village, yes.
So I would say the resilience of the villagers is what kept them going daily, because from what I've heard before, we went into this, recording this episode, the villagers have endured some of the worst and devastating tropical cyclones over the past few years, and even storm surges that would go further inland. Yeah? Merwalesi, and that will take me to my next question about Talanoa, about some of the worst tropical cyclones and other disasters that you, as a villager here of Lingaulevu, have endured in recent years.
Well, I'll just talk about the cyclone Yasa. As already we have been talking about, when the sea rises, there was one wedding that one occasion. It was a wedding was held here in Lingaulevu, and when the cyclone came, the tide or the sea level. The tide came in, the waves came in right into the village, past the village, and goes right to another creek, and then go back. That was the first time that happened. From a very long time, we haven't heard from our parents, our grandfathers, grandmothers, that has happened here before. But this is I think it's the first time that happened, that the waves come in and goes right in the village, right to another creek, the other side of the village. That was the worst scenario that I've ever came across. And we had to vacate the village, and we go up to the school, where we always go in when there's a storm comes. But we have our plan to try to build up a building that we will go to when disasters come.
So it's important that the village also has a plan, and they are planning to construct a standard and a new evacuation center to accommodate the villages in times of disaster. A very important initiative and approach. Before we wrap up, any other key details or information you wish to highlight?
Pinaka, I just want to continue about this weather, about the village, as some of the houses that is near the sea. They are trying to move inland, to go further inside, to go the other side. So, because they're experiencing the sand where their house is still draining out. We're trying to put the seawall, but still, when the tide comes in, it washes out. So I think that's what I just wanted to explain about that regarding the houses that is on the right in front here. They wanted to go to move inland because of that.
And what's stopping them from moving inland?
Well, they are planning to do, I think it's financially. Yeah, I think financially they're trying to do their planning. One of the village, one of my cousin, he's planning to move inland. And he's trying to like get enough financial so that he can move his family, like right inside. Mm-mm.
It's also pleasing to note that the villagers who are residing along the coast, they are making it their business to relocate or to move further inland, because they see, they view that this issue, the rising sea level, is no longer a joke, and it's something that needs and must be taken seriously. And that was Merwalesi Ndivosi, one of the resilient women here of Lingaulebu village in the province of Mali, in the district of Mali, the province of Mothuata, one of the three villages that is located right here on Mali Island in the northern part of Fiji. Merwalesi, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Winakobale.
What's your plan? Are you ready to leave your home? Plan now before disaster strikes. Pacific Prepared.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Pacific Prepared. And I should say as well, thank you and Fafatai to our guest host today, stepping into the shoes of Josana Nunga. It was Ina from Samoa 2OP and TV9. How did you enjoy the program today, Ina?
Thank you, Fred. It has been a really good opportunity for me. This is my very first time hosting a program like this, and I'm very appreciative of this opportunity, because, you know, hearing a voice from Samoa and what's happening in Samoa is really, this platform will might, I guess, inspire or encourage other Pacific Islanders from what we are doing here in Samoa to cope with the effect of climate change. And it's also good to hear from other countries through the stories that we just put into this program. And yeah, I'm so grateful for this opportunity to be here and to co-host this program. So thank you, Fred, for having me on this program.
Great points. Thank you, Ina. I really appreciate it. All the best.
Thank you so much.
That's it.
Perfect. That's good. Yeah, we're done.
That's so cool.
Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper. Please share any information you've learned today and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.
In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favourite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the era to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In The Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.